And then, where do we have the laws? Is the laws of God, is the speaker Moses laws of God? Should we bring the sacrifice and lamb and kill them and have an altar and all the thing? But Christ said, when at his last time in the temple, that the kingdom was taken from the Jews and given to another nation. Did Christ brought any laws? No, he didn't bring any laws. He was, you know, his message was the self-realization. Who brought the laws? Prophet Muhammad brought the laws, again. And he brought something that even Muslims still follow. So we can see that, so it comes up, that it's based on the Eternal Divine, but based on God's law. Now, how we can create the covenant of life? What do you mean by the covenant of life? Okay. The next prophet comes, what does he do? He goes to the cross for his ideal. He crucifies himself. He is willing to go all the way and sacrifice everything for what he believes. And what did he believe? Love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't that create a good community? If every neighbor love, you know, their neighbor of themselves, okay, then we can see that the next step in creating the community of life is sacrifice, and not being self-centered. That means, you know, it's not all what is for me, but what is for the community and how I can share with the community and help the community to grow and become great. And that is the message of the third seal for Christianity, to bring the grace into the community. Of course, when Christ came, what happened? When Adam and Eve fell, which is means the lower nature of man, okay, make the higher nature fall. When they fell, what happened? Did God took the grace away from them? Apparently, he told them leave the garden, didn't he? Okay. When they leave the garden, really, what's that? They fell from the grace. That's when you leave the garden. It's not really a garden that they can go and, you know, eat from. It is the garden is when you are in grace. You're not worried about your food. You're not worried about your clothes. You're not worried about your future. You're not worried about the past. The only thing is you are in the moment with God and you have things to do and you do it according to what's happening. That's the most important thing for you. Therefore, you know, grace provides for you. Just like a garden. They didn't have to till the ground. Okay. They didn't have to do anything. It was provided for us, for them. Okay. Then when they fell, what happened to them? They had to till the ground. You know, they had to suffer and if you're in the grace, do you suffer? No. That's where you are, and wherever you are, that's fine. You're still happy with it. So therefore, when Christ came, what did he do? In the time of Moses, they had to appease God to receive some grace. They have to sacrifice, they have to do all that. When the Christ came, was it that necessary anymore? No, because he released the grace back to humanity. That's why, if you believe in Christ and his teaching, you will receive the grace. You don't have to be labeled as follower of a special, you know, religion. Okay. It is for everyone. Just like Eternal Divine Path is for everyone. Mission of Mahatma is not something you claim that you belong to. Either you follow Eternal Divine Path or you don't. Okay. If you follow Eternal Divine Path, you will see the beauty of it and you will see how you can manifest the good, you know, communities of love wherever you are. But say, no, I am in the mission of my life, I am divine, so everybody should bow down on me, but you don't follow the Eternal Divine Path. You are not in the mission of my prayer. If you believe in Christ, you will receive the grace, even if you are not called Christian or anything like that. Every person can receive because he released it to the back of humanity. So that's also what he is. He is a symbol of the, you know, release of the grace back to humanity. Now, okay, I have the grace. I sacrifice. I'm completely dedicated to God. Okay, and I'm really working hard to manifest the communities of light. But it's not happening. What am I going to become? I'm going to become very depressed and say, well, I'm putting so much effort and I'm putting all my life and thing on this and see this wonderful revelation get to humanity, but it's not happening. Are you going to get depressed? Or if it starts happening, I say, wow, what a wonderful teacher I am, or what a wonderful person I am that I'm creating all these people coming and listening to my words and whatever I say, they say, yes, you said correctly. I am such a powerful, you know, being, or I'm such a big ego that sit there. Do you think it's going to happen? The moment you do that, you create a bad, big ego. And what is the problem in the world? Ego. That is the only problem we have. There's no other problem. Taking care of the physiological and safety needs of the people, the sharing is very easy, very simple. The reason we have all this problem, people don't want to share. If they share, we don't need as much resources as they claim we really need. Okay? So, what is the next step? The next step, surrendering and submission to the will of God. Surrendering means in the beginning, when you start surrendering yourself and to submit to God, you do His will. Okay, you try to awaken your spiritual forces, you meditate, you do the reminder, you whatever mission is given that appeals to you most and helps you to calm your mind and connect it to God, then what? Then there is a desire to create the communities of life. You say, okay, I want to create a community. You find a couple of people like-minded and they say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to create the communities of life. Great. Okay. So now that you meditate and you are willing to come together, to share, to go through the process. This is something I have to tell you, not easy. But if you stay with it, it works. Okay. Eventually, all those differences level out. Okay. And you become one. Then you say, okay, we all sacrifice for it. We share whatever we have, you know. We try not to be self-centered and say, what is it only in to me? Then, next step is to do the will of God, but surrender the result to God. Okay? I like one of the things in the chat room, you know, what somebody was saying that the surrendering means surrendering to the path. Okay. Which was very beautiful. Okay. Or becoming surrendered as something like a brush in the hand of a painter. Okay. That was very, very pretty, you know, realization. Actually, I enjoyed that chat so much. You know, you guys came up with such a wonderful word that really, I said, okay, well, my mission is done. These guys already know the teaching the only thing is there for me is now become absorber and enjoy the process and see it happens. So far I was the doer. Well, God is the doer, but I was the channel doing it. Now I can see the channels you're forming that are doing it, you know, that God's come through them. You know, that was the whole idea, that there's going to be 144,000 Maitreyas on earth. Okay. And each of you can, you know, attract whatever, you know, consciousness you can attract. And start creating communities of light and come and become a teacher of the mission and start traveling around and setting up communities, go, you know, different places and meeting people that are interested in this unification. A lot of people are talking about unification, but this gives you the unification. It is not just words. It shows that's what you unify. That's how you unify. So, one of the things, it is one of the hardest lessons to surrender and submit to God. Okay? Because we have egos, okay? And ego loves to take the credit. Ego hates not to get the credit, okay? We love to get the credit. We thrive to let, we live to get the credit. And everybody says, you did a good job, great. And your ego says, yeah, I did it. I'm great and all that. But that's not good for you. That's the problem. Okay? I know we love it, but it's not good for us. Okay? We lose it. We become self-centered. We fall from the grace. How do you get back to the grace? You do the job and say, God, okay. If you remember, that God is doing through you, great. You didn't do anything. God is doing through me. I have absolutely no attachment to the result because I never did it. He did it through me. So there is, the process is perfect by itself. And that's how you become one with God, actually. Aren't the goal of the life is to become one with God? That is how it is. I'm not doing anything. I'm just observing. It's happening. And I'm just looking at it happens. That's great. No. Therefore, I haven't done anything, so I can't take credit. But you don't always remember that. You read the action and say, oh, I did a good job. Right away remember, oh, okay, I am getting attached to the result of action. I am the doer. I am saying, I've done this. You didn't do it, God did it through me. And also, God's perfect. So when God does something, He does it perfect. So if you did something that's not perfect, did God came through you? No, it wasn't God, it was me. My ego, you know, came in and stopped the process of perfection and I messed it up. Okay, so if it's messed up, it's not God. Okay, it's perfect. It's God. If you let Him come through, He will do the perfect job for you. So, that is submission. That is the greatest spiritual realization and achievement. And that is what Islam really means. Islam means surrender and submission to God. Islam, that actually, the many Muslims, they want to do something, they say, Inshallah. This means, if God wills. Okay. But the meaning is not there anymore. All of them think they are the doer. They don't know the real meaning of surrender and submission means to surrender and submission, the result to God. Okay. And they're very attached to the result of their actions. So really, they're not following Islam as God intended. God intended Islam means to be surrendered and submissive to God. Okay, I'm surrendered and submissive. I create the comings of God. I'm sacrificing. I'm doing all these things to this community I have. And I'm very attached to it. That is my community. Every other community are no good. I am the best, okay, in the universe. You know, our community is the best in the universe. You know, and we can make it the best, you know. Every other community doesn't know what they're talking about. If they're not in our community, they're no good. They're outsider. Okay? That is when the next step comes in. You also have to become a universalist. You come, realize that universe is your home, God is your mother and father, and you are free of any narrowness of the mind, of the gender, nationality, religion, you know, race, and anything that narrows you, okay, you overcome and you love the whole universe as, because all those things are a part of the universe. God doesn't create anything that is not useful. Okay? So if it's created, if it's here, they have a dharma, they have a reason to be here, and they are a part of the universe and God. So, with that, you destroy all narrowness of the mind, and with this first five step, you will become a divine. You will become an elect. You will become a paravipra. You awaken your spiritual forces. You create the comings of life. You sacrifice for not being self-centered. You surrender, submit to God, and you become universalist. That is five step Mishna Maitreya. That's it. The rest of it are the tools to get you in this eternal path. It unifies all religions of the world. It unifies all the mystical world, really mystical beliefs, Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Kabbalists, Christian saints, and mystical part of Christianity. The Sufis, and any mystics they have in Baha'is or any religion, or even Africans and South Americans, if they have a lot of mystical teachings that they can realize God, they are a part of the nature. They say they are a part of nature. What's nature? Nature is God. Okay. So this really was all of them. Then of course the second seal, Old Testament, Hebrews and Jewish people, the Christianity, sacrifice, all the Christians, and then Muslim, Sunni and submissive, and universalism, Baha'i teaching. So we can see it is a path. It is the way of becoming an elect, which is the sixth seal, and it is a way of unifying all the teaching in one place. It is supported with the scriptures. We don't say anything, it's not in the scripture. We did not bring any new idea and say, no, you don't need the scripture. How can you not need the scripture? It's the word of God. When He sends us the scripture to the specific prophets, it's prophesied to come, and then say, no, this is my word. Now I come and say, no, put the scriptures away. Well, we can put the parts that it's been changed away, okay, the human root, and change God's word away, but not the scripture itself. How can you change? How can you put the word of God away? God already sent this thing to His prophets. Okay, so we can see that our teaching is based on the scripture, and the scripture says there is the seventh seal, and there is going to be the seventh angel, which reveals the whole mystery of God, and that's the mystery of God. The whole path covers all religions of the world. Okay? And until that seventh revelation comes, the rest is, you know, is not perfect. It's not clear. So nobody really knows the answer, the true answer of God's mystery and His revelations, until the seventh angel comes and opens the seventh seal. And when the book with the seven seals is open, what happens? Whole the universe rejoice. So we all have to rejoice that the seven seals eventually is open. The book is come to humanity. Now we are called into it. And we all say, yes, I want to be a part of it. I see that this revelation is supported with the scripture, it's supported with the, you know, prophecies. It makes sense, it unifies the humanity, God is one, and He really, really does exist. Because He said He's going to do this thing, and He did it. If He does, if somebody says, tomorrow I'm going to come, you don't know even such a person, move that glass of water from here to there, and tomorrow morning you come and say, yeah, glass moved, don't you assume there was somebody here? If God says, I'm going to do this thing, and He did it, don't you assume that He really exists? Some people say, tell me, prove me God exists. There He is. There's your proof that He said He's going to do all this thing, and He did it. Therefore, He exists. And now, with meditation and the spiritual, you know, practices, hopefully one day you also will experience it. Therefore, we can see this. Mission is not just a claim, it's not a cult, it's a new revelation from God to humanity. We are not here to create cults or a small group. We are open to the community we are living, we reach to them, we help them, we eventually, hopefully, we are going to have a lot of institutions and outlets to help everyone in every disaster or in a soup kitchen or consultation with the people they need. But right now we are calling the elect. People, they don't have any personal problem. They are here to help the mission. Okay? Their personal problem, hopefully, eventually when the country of life is created, will be resolved and solved and be taken care of. Right now is the call to the elect, is the people who say, yeah, I have no personal problem. Even if I have them, I just drop them. No one say, forget it. I'm not going to even, there's much more urgent and greater thing is happening here than my little, you know, world and problem, and drop them out and come and say, yes, let's create the, you know, army of the elects, who not going to fight with the sword. They're not going to fight with the terrorism or with the actions that's going to hurt humanity, but with their pen, with their mind, with their teaching, with their ability to make other people see, yeah, this is really from God. Okay, if you want to be in the right you know, bandwagon, or are we going to be in the right ship or in the right train to God? This is it. So you have to get into it as soon as possible. Okay? That's why I've been, you know, doing satsang for the last 22 years here. And of course, the train is getting accelerated. It's going faster and faster, and it's going to go faster. So if you are stopped and looking, you know, at a little problem, personal problem, suddenly you realize the train is gone. You know? Too late to get into it. So that is what the call is, and that's what the teaching is. And we all welcome everyone into the mission. We welcome all your input. We are here to work with you. All of you are a part of, you know, God's revelation. As Prophet Muhammad said, the number is the hand of God. As the number increases, our hand will increase to humanity. And hopefully one day we are going to get critical mass, and we see that Earth is going to be changing and change to many, many communities of light, and eventually bring peace and unity and tranquility to everyone. Of course, in these elects are the people who are going to be the ones that are going to lead humanity to the golden age that all of us are talking about and waiting, and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Communist of light is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. The more communist of light we create, the sooner we create them, the sooner God's kingdom will come on earth. Okay? So that is the goal of this mission, to create the communist of light. And that should be everybody's goal, and everybody's endeavor should be directed toward this divine task. When we all create a lot of communism and the kingdom come, a lot of people's progress will be accelerated millions of times, and many will reach pure consciousness of the seventh seal. And that eventually the whole universe, or at least most of it, reached there before this creation ends, and those who didn't reach that stage have to wait billions of years before they can have another chance. So there's an urgency in what you do. It is a call for you to consider. And if you see the truth and you see how perfectly this mission fits God's revelations and God's prophecies and predictions, then I don't see how can you have any other choice but to say, I want to be in it. As I said, if you have a choice not to be in this mission, then probably you don't belong to this mission. Because if you see all these things, you shouldn't have a choice, and you should just come and do the mission. So that probably sums the mission for the new people here. Of course, those who have been here, they have heard here this again and again. I guess it seems, you know, everybody loves to hear it over and over again, although I've said it many times. But really, that is the crux of the mission and what this mission stands for. Now, if you have other questions, go ahead, and I'll wait for you to hear if you have question after this explanation. Okay, sounds like Nathan doesn't have any question, and I hope the explanation makes sense to you. And if it doesn't, we're all open here to, you know, talk about it and then see if what doesn't make sense, or, you know, eventually come to the conclusion that either you are right or, you know, we can somehow, you know, come to some agreement on it. Okay, we have a question here.